Right now, little Van Halen, Van Hagar, affectionately called. Any Van Halen fans? All right, yeah. I like that. I've always liked that song. Right now. I mean, it's your tomorrow. Right now, come on, it's everything. Right now, and some of you need to hear this morning. Tell me, what are you waiting for? I mean, it's a great question, isn't it? I've got a question for you. If you had to guess what the most common command in Scripture, what the most frequent instructions that God gives the human race, what would you guess? I mean, it's not be more loving, although that is at the core of God's desire for humanity, for you and I. There's a lot said about struggling with pride, but the most common command does not have anything to do with humility. It's not about character. It's not about sexual integrity. It's not about walking in the truth, although all of those things are very, very important. The most common command in Scripture, two words, fear not. Fear not. Scripture says, fear not, for I am with you, God says. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. Do not be afraid. God says, trust me. Fear not. I mean, fear, it's universal. We all deal with fear. We wrestle with fear in our lives. We live in a sea of fear, you might say. I like what humorist Dave Barry has to say about fear. He says, all of us are born with a set of instinctive fears. The fear of falling, the fear of the dark, the fear of lobsters, the fear of falling on lobsters in the dark. The fear of speaking at Rotary Club, or the words, some assembly required. We all have fears. But not all fears are bad. In fact, some of our fears help us survive in life. Good fears. They teach us to respect appropriate boundaries in our lives. They alert us to real dangers. A good fear will keep a child from touching a hot stove. But then there are bad fears. The bad fears kind of paralyze us from doing what we ought to do in life. Bad fears will distort things. They'll exaggerate things. In fact, bad fears will keep us out of touch with what reality is. Bad fears accompany a chronic sense of worry, anxiety. So you got good fears and bad fears. Now, I would say to you that I think for the most part, because of the number of commands in Scripture, that fear, for the most part, in the common experience for humanity, that those fears are not a good thing in our lives. In fact, over and over in Scripture, it is fear that threatens. It threatens to keep people from trusting God and obeying God. In fact, there are two main mindsets talked about in Scripture. You can live a life based on faith, where you trust God, where you trust God's goodness in your life. You can trust God's power, and that is very sufficient for our lives. It's a place where you can kind of relax and live with a sense of confidence that God's got things handled. But then there's the mindset, it's based on fear. I'm on my own. I got to be really careful because something bad might happen. You know, I've got to be extra cautious in what I do because I may get in a situation I cannot handle. And so there's this illusion that we have that it is our circumstances. The things that we face in life, those difficult situations that we face, that they are responsible for producing the fear in us. I mean, Scripture teaches that that's not so. In fact, over and over and over again in Scripture, you got two different people that are facing the same situation, but they respond very differently. We talked about, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Moses, and he sends the 12 spies into the promised land, and they explore, and they start checking things out, and 10 of them come back, and they're really negative. That was all about fear. You know, the land's great, but the enemy, they are strong. They're giants. We can't take the land. We can't trust that God's going to do what God said he's going to do. And so we just need to pack our bags and get back to Dodge. You know, but two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, they see the same enemy, same situation. And they're like, we should take the land. God promised the land. Right here, right now, what are we waiting for? With God's help, we can possess it. We can take it. I always loved the story about David. He's a young man at the time, shepherd boy. And he brings supplies to his brothers. His brothers are serving in the army. They're on the front line. David, he sees what everybody else is seeing. He sees that great champion of their enemy. He sees Goliath. Now, Goliath could have been in the WWE. I mean, this guy's huge. And he's really mouthy. And he would come out every day, and he would mock God's people. And the Israeli soldiers, they were so terrified that they would not challenge him. They wouldn't deal with him. Fear owned these guys. David sees the situation, and what's he do? He confronts him. He confronts him with a slingshot, right here, right now. What are you guys waiting on? Fight this guy. Two sets of people facing the same situation, the same challenge, the same land that they see, the same, in this case, the enemy. David sees that situation, and David has a sense of peace and confidence. But a lot of people panic and fear. I mean, what's the difference? It's not the situation, is it? It's not the circumstance. It's not the what's going on. It's the mindset that's involved. And in a very single word, I would say perspective. You know, the most determinant in whether or not you have faith or fear in your life is your perspective. Your perspective makes all the difference in the world. Your perspective will determine how you respond to things in life. It's a little bit like the college girl. You may have heard this before, but she wrote her parents, and she wrote this: "Dear Mom and Dad, I have so much to tell you. There was a riot at college, and they set fire to our dorm. I ended up with lung damage and was admitted to the hospital overnight. While in the hospital, I met a really nice orderly. I fell in love with him, and we moved in together." How'd you like to get that note, Dad? "I dropped out of school when I found out I was pregnant. I got fired. He got fired from his job for drinking, so we're moving to Alaska. We might get married after the baby's born. Signed, Your Loving Daughter." Woohoo. "P.S. None of this happened, but I did flunk chemistry class." I just wanted you to keep it in perspective. Yeah, I can't imagine. It's perspective. It is everything. Perspective is a sense of proportion in life. It's the ability to sort out the major from the minor, the significant in life from the things that are trivial. An unhealthy fear is the product of a skewed reality or perspective. And friends, we've been saying this throughout this series. Life's too short. Life is too short to live in fear. In Scripture, when God says to someone, fear not. I've noticed God rarely says, fear not, when he is trying to spare them some anxiety in life. God usually does not say, fear not, as trying to soothe someone in their situation. Generally, when you read in Scripture where God or an angel says, fear not, what he is doing, he's asking them to take a step of faith, to take a step that they do not want to take. And God calls by saying, fear not. He calls people to extraordinary acts of obedience, to a risky faith. And generally in life, it comes down to, will we go with our fear? Many do. Or will we go with faith? God says, trust me, fear not. I believe the number one fear that keeps us from riding on that wave of adventure in life, that keeps us from living life the way that God designed us to live. I mean, it's just fear. Fear, it messes us up. Fear keeps us from riding that wave of obedience. Fear keeps us from having that fellowship with God that allows us to move forward. Fear will keep us from giving God 100% in our lives. And we all deal with fear. We all do. I mean, one of the most common fears, fear of loss. Fear of loss, the fear of losing something that's really important to you. Some of you are married. And if the truth were known, you fear. You fear losing your spouse. It weighs on you on a regular basis. Some of you parents, you have a fear. You have a fear of losing a child or something happening to one of your children. Or maybe it's a fear of a financial loss or losing a job, losing an investment in life. Fear, when you look at it, it's fear that will take things and you look at it and you see the worst situation possible. You're afraid it's going to turn for the worse. You're afraid that you won't be able to hold it together in your life. You're afraid that you might lose control. I'm not in control. Oh, no. I'm afraid. And I just want to say something. If you think you're in control, you're delusional. All right? The fact is, we are never in control. God's in control of things. Now, just curious, how many of you would say that at some point in your life, you've feared losing something important to you? Come on. I mean, me too. Another common fear is the fear of failure in life. You're afraid you're not going to be adequate. You'd like to do something, you even know what it is. But you're afraid you might wipe out. You feel a burden maybe to start a ministry. But fear holds you back. You've dreamed of going back to school or starting a business or reaching out to someone in a particular way. But fear, it paralyzes you. What are you waiting for? I'm not sure I can do it. That's why I'm waiting. So you don't move. Why? Because you might fail. How many of you would say you've been afraid of failure before? All right. Keep looking around you when we're doing this. We're together in this. Another fear that we have is a fear of rejection in our lives. You know, some of you are afraid. Some of you are afraid to ask someone out on a date. Why? Well, because if you ask them, they might say, why would I go out with you? And so we don't. Some of you are afraid to have a really tough conversation with your spouse. And if the truth were known, you're afraid because they might leave you. They might walk out. Some of you are afraid to challenge a friend, coworker, employee, boss. You're afraid the conversation won't go the way you want it to go. And under all that, it's kind of like, I want people to like me. I want people to like me. This people-pleasing mindset causes a lot of people to just get messed up. I mean, it spills into every area of our life. You know, will they like me? Can I do this? Will everybody be okay with it? Will they like what I wear? Will they like how I walk, how I talk? And so we worry. We worry about what people think. And that fear of rejection, I mean, it's real. I would like to ask how many of you have a fear of rejection, but I won't, because you'll be going, I don't know, what will people think if I raise my hand today? But it's real, isn't it? There's one more fear, and that's the fear of the unknown. And I think this is the fear that is very daunting in our lives. I mean, what would happen if I get cancer? What would happen if something happened to my loved one? What would happen if I lost my job? What would happen if I changed jobs? And so this fear is kind of crushing, and it keeps us captive. It keeps us in bondage in our lives. You know, what's going to happen in the future? And it consumes you, doesn't it? The fact is, we don't enjoy the present because we're worried about the future. So some of you, you're stuck in a bad situation, and you know it. Maybe it's an abusive relationship. Maybe it's a dead-end job. Maybe it's a destructive pattern in your life. But rather than do something about it, you remain in the bad situation. You don't venture out. You want to. You know you should. But you don't, because you're afraid. And it holds you captive. It owns you. For some of you right now, I mean, things are going great. But you're so afraid that something's going to happen down the road, you can't even enjoy what you got right now. How many of you would say at some time in your life, you've been afraid of the unknown, you've been afraid of the future? Let's see your hands. All right. How many of you would say you deal with all four of the fears that we've talked about? All right, I'm afraid for you right now. I'm kidding. Fear is something we all battle. I think we established that, right? Paul writes this, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." God did not give us a spirit of fear. Fear is not from God. In fact, fear, we're going to find, is from our spiritual enemy, Satan. God our Father is the source of all things. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. He's all-powerful. God did not give us what? Spirit of fear. Yet many people live their lives consumed by fear. Worried lives. Anxious lives. Lives that, if we were honest, many times are overwhelmed with fear. God did not give us that spirit. God gave us what? Power, love, and self-control. Life is too short to live in fear. And I pray that we stop living in fear. There is a better way to live, where we step up out of the waters of fear and we ride that crest adventure that God has prepared for us, a life of adventure. You know, some say fear is the opposite of faith. But I disagree with that. Now, I'm going to admit I am being technical right now, okay? But fear is all about faith. It's just faith in the wrong things in life. And I want you to stay with me here. What's fear? Fear is placing our faith in the what ifs of life. You know, what if, and all of a sudden I'm afraid. I mean, what if this doesn't work? What if things fall apart? What if the economy crashes? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my health in life? What if my spouse leaves me or cheats on me? What if I can't do this? What if I can't get married, you know, and it never happens? What if we can't have children? And on and on and on we could go with that list. Have you ever noticed people never say or rarely say, what if something great happens? I mean, with the exception of the misguided that go down and buy their lottery tickets every week, and in their mind they're going, if I win, everything's going to be great. You know, what if I win? I'll give the tithe to God. I will stop world hunger if I win. That's not how most people think, is it? What if something great happens? People are held captive by the what ifs. Some of you today are stuck. Some of you are scared, and it's the what ifs that own you right now. Life's too short to live that way. Life's too short to live in fear, to allow the what ifs to own you. You fear whatever. And what you fear reveals where you trust God the least. Did you hear that? What you fear is the area, the thing, where you trust God the least. Now be honest with yourself right now. Identify your fear. I want you to identify your fear, identify the area, and then put your finger on that thing that you fear the most. Identify it. And that's the area you are not trusting God. Are you not trusting God in your marriage? With your children? You're not trusting God vocationally or financially? Are you not trusting God with your health, with your aging parents, with the future? I mean, where are you not trusting God? Everybody ought to be able to identify something. And what we're going to do, I'm going to get real practical with this. Right here, right now. It's your tomorrow. This is everything here. Tell me, what are you waiting for? We are not to live in the sea of fear, this sea of doubt, of worry, anxiety that just tears people up. In fact, we're not to live in those treacherous waters where you're worrying about you're going to drown. You know, it's not going to work out. What if, what if, what if? We're to get out of the waters. We're to ride that wave. We're to do whatever it is that God's calling us to do. God has a better way for you to live, a God-given design for your life. And the first thing you got to admit, you got to acknowledge this, you got to acknowledge the fear that you have, and you got to trust God. Acknowledge the fear. Own it. Whatever it is, be able to put your finger on that. In other words, what I'm saying to you is you can't keep brushing it off. You know, we're pretty good at this. We brush it off, don't we? Pretend. La, 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 this isn't happening, this isn't happening. Whatever your fear is, own it. Own it. It's the first step to getting out of the waters here. You know, you got to get out of the waters of fear. And whatever you can do in your life, whatever it is, you got to do it. You got to minimize the risks, in other words, that thing that you're fearing. Do what you can do to stabilize the situation in your life. You got to do that. But then you got to make a choice in your life. With every bit of faith in you, you get up out of the waters and you say, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you now. I'm going to trust you. It's a stand of faith in your life. I mean, David, He was called to be the new king. He was anointed to be the future king of Israel. Saul was still the king. Saul, well, he felt threatened by David. In fact, as you read the story, Saul despised David at a point. Finally, Saul orders his army to hunt David down and kill him. I think when we read that story of David, and David is on the run, we kind of play it down, don't we? We go, oh yeah, David was on the run. But I want you to imagine for a moment that you're David. And I want you to really imagine the situation. So let's say we're in the United States. And the president of the United States wants you dead or alive, but he wants you captured. Every force in this country, every agency in this country is hunting you down. The full weight of the office of presidency has been leveraged against you. I think you'd be afraid. I mean, fear. It would have you, wouldn't it? David writes this. He says, be merciful to me, God. For my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. That's the reality that David's living in. David is dealing with this. He's in a sea of fear, and he knows it. His enemies, they're pursuing him. They are attacking him. They are after him. Hot pursuit, it says. So what's David do? I love David's honesty. David just, he kind of spills it out there. But what's David do? He says, when I am afraid. Sometimes fear is so much, it is overwhelming. It's consuming. I'm afraid. I'm afraid for the future. I'm afraid for my life. I'm afraid of this. And David says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. He's talking to God. I put my trust in you, God. David says it. In fact, David writes it down. I will put my trust in you, God. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise and God I trust. David says, I'm gonna do whatever I've got to do, but I'm trusting you, God. What can mere mortals do to me? David says, I'm going to not be afraid. And then he raises the question, what can these mortals do to me? What can Saul and his armies do to me? And I'm thinking, well, David, they could catch you and kill you. They could capture you. They could torture you. They could imprison you. They could make your life really awful, David. But David makes this shift. He makes this shift from the temporal, what's going on in his life, and David all of a sudden gets an eternal perspective. David rises above that sea of fear. He rises above life on this earth. He says, if I choose to trust God, if I hold tight to God, ultimately, from an eternal perspective, my enemies, they don't have power. They can't do anything. David gets out of the waters of fear, and it translates into faith in his life. He makes a shift. If I choose to trust God, if I choose to trust God completely and fully, if I'm obedient, if I put my faith in God, if I hold nothing back in my life, suddenly my what ifs shift. Suddenly my what ifs kind of pale in comparison to the goodness of God. See, I want to challenge you to get up out of the waters. Live life up here. You know, be honest with God and say, here are my fears, God. I'm going to trust you, though. No matter what, I'm going to trust you. The future that you have for me, God, I trust you want the best for me. I am not going to fear that power, the what ifs, that all of a sudden as we trust God, those lose their power. But if you focus on the what ifs, they gain power in your life. See, the closer you get to God, the more you trust God, the less fear you're going to have in this world. But you got to acknowledge the fear. You got to acknowledge the fear. It is a step of faith to get up out of those waters and just say, you know what, God, no matter what happens, I trust you. Trust God, period. It's a better way to live. And then you seek God. You seek God. You run after God. You relentlessly pursue God in your life until he takes away the fear that you have. You know, read God's word on a daily basis. Spend time. Why? Because it'll help you with fear. You know, seek God in prayer. You know, talk to him every day, every moment of every day. Spend time. Tell him what's going on in your life. Tell him what's on your heart, how you feel, good, bad, or ugly. Just spell it out. And if you do it long enough and you're faithful with it, God will take away your fears. This is critical to living. This is life-changing stuff. David, he's still being pursued by Saul. That didn't go away. In fact, when you read through the scriptures, you find David later in the Psalms. Actually, it's later in the story, but it's earlier in the Psalms. It's a little confusing here. But David writes these words. He says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from what? All my fears. Some of you need to write that verse down and just read it over and over and over again. I sought God, and he delivered me. He took away, he removed all my fears. Fears no longer hold me hostage in life. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all, not some, all my fears. All my fears. With God, all things are possible. It is possible, hear this, it is possible to live fearlessly in your life instead of swimming around in that pool of fear. You know, instead of focusing, people might take this step, but then they spend all their time focusing on the fears. Oh no, oh, what if? And friends, what I'm saying is that at some point in your life, You got to shift. You got to say, you know what? I am not going to keep looking there, but I'm going to look up there. And you will rise up out of your fear. Focus on God, and you get up out of the fear. Doesn't mean it's not down there. You just forget about it because you're focusing on God. It is a game changer in life. It gets rid of the fear. You start living differently. You know, Isaiah says this, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. All who trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'll be honest, they were really worked up, okay? They were worked up. They were worked up about the direction that this country is going. And they're living in those fear-filled waters down there. That's where they're living. And it was like, well, what if the country goes the wrong direction? And what if the election doesn't go this way? And what if things collapse politically? And what if it collapses economically? And what if this all comes undone? And what if? And they were genuinely worried. I don't want to dismiss what they were saying. They were worried, a lot of fear. And I could tell when they came up for air that they wanted me to respond, but they never asked me a real question. And so we had a moment of kind of silence. And then I said to them, I am thankful that my God still's on the throne, that my God still reigns. And I said to him, you know, I find it comforting when I look at life and I'm not sure about things. I find it comforting to know that my God's still God and he's in control of everything, absolutely everything in this world and in my life. See, don't get me wrong. I have times when fear creeps in my life. And I have to remind myself, God's still on the throne. And when I see people drowning in their fears, I want to say, get up out of the water. Own your fears, trust God, and then focus on God and do what you're supposed to do. And what you find is you start riding that wave, you know? And it gets easier and easier as you trust God, as you focus on God, as you relentlessly pursue God in your life. But it's a choice you have to make. See, when you focus on God in your life instead of this stuff, God comes between you and the stuff, between you and the fears. But when you focus on the fears, oh no, what's going to happen? Oh no, what if? Your fears come between you and God. Seek God. He'll deliver you from your fears, whatever they are, and we all have them. Sometimes I fear the future. I mean, I look down the path and I look at my schedule sometimes, the demands sometimes. I'll be honest, it's a little overwhelming to me. And when I get overwhelmed, and it happens, I have to get off by myself, close my eyes, and just say, okay, God, you're enough. You're enough for me. And when I do that, see, it shifts my perspective. It changes it. And then I just trust him that I can do the next thing that I need to do and then the next thing that I need to do. It is a trust thing. And I trust God. He's on the throne. He's always been on the throne. And I trust God will give me the power to do what I'm supposed to do, that he'll give me the discipline to do what I need to do in life. It's how God works, friends. And he will do the same thing in your life, whatever it is, whatever it is. You can't. You can't, but God can. You can't, but God can. You can't, but what? God can. You can't, whatever. But God can. That's a better way to live. Fear, it'll drag you down. It'll drag you under. It will keep you from living the life God's called you to live. God did not design you to live that way. He did not design us to live in fear. He designed us to live with our eyes fixed on him. And I want to challenge you with that this morning. Whatever that thing is that you fear in life, that you've been waiting, you know, because, what if I take that step? I want to challenge you, make today the day. You say, right here, right now, no more fear, I'm moving forward. Now, do not misunderstand me. It doesn't mean it's a smooth ride. It may get rough. You may go through some difficult stuff. But if you stay focused on him, that thing you fear, you'll get through. Again, doesn't mean it works out the way you want, maybe, but it'll work out the way God planned if you stay focused on him. You just got to do it. Live obediently in life, knowing you're in God's hands. God who created the heavens and the earth, the God that holds the planets and the stars in place, the God that allows you to take a breath, the God that loves you, sometimes more than you love yourself, that God wants the best for you. He does. Life's too short to live in fear. Quit living that way. Right here, right now, what are you waiting for? No fear living. No fear living. Let's stand for a word of prayer. And I want to challenge you. You got a fear? My guess is you've been battling it for a while, dealing with it. You know, make it your prayer this week. God, give me the strength to get up out of the waters and trust you. That's the first step. And then just stay focused. You know, one, our prayer team, they'll be down front here following the service. Just come down. You don't have to say, this is my fear, and lay it all out. I mean, you can if you want, but you don't need to do that. Just come up and say, I want you to pray for my fear. And then start, make this the day you change your tomorrow. Let's bow in prayer. Our holy God, you have created fearfully and wonderfully. And you've called us out of fear, out of darkness. God, I pray that we would just focus on you, trust you, quit living life where we're trembling and afraid and anxiety and worry just overwhelm us. God, we just lay it in your hands. You are trustworthy. You are strong enough. You have the knowledge, and you have the power. God, I pray that we would just look to you for that strength and power, discipline. God, forgive us when fear overwhelms us. Forgive us when we don't trust you fully. God, we just praise you for your promises to see us through whatever it is we're going through. We give you the glory this day and every day, and God's people said. Friends, God is for you. Who can be against you? Let's worship. Let's remember the God that we serve today. Yeah?